On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Darcher-Kent. Glad you could be here. You have aligned to Republican Representative Cindy Duco of Delafield. Here's a bit of roadmap. We'll discuss legislation expanding a sales tax exemption on renewable energy products, a proposal for tuition and fee refunds for unvaccinated UW System and Technical College students who are barred from a program due to their status. And we start with the bail system and a push for a constitutional amendment allowing judges more latitude to set bail for people with criminal histories. Have you ever had to post bail for yourself or a loved one? What was that like? What alternatives are there for cash bail? Do you agree with Republican lawmakers pushing for tougher bail policies in the wake of the Waukesha parade tragedy? 800-642-1234. Representative Cindy Duco is Majority Caucus Vice Chair, sits on the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Representative Duco, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So concerns arose after the bail set for the suspect in the Waukesha parade attack. Daryl Brooks was considered ridiculously low due to Brooks's history. But as we've learned, setting reasonable bail is really tricky. We've learned in past conversation there isn't a clear formula, not a perfect solution. You want to change the Constitution. What would this effectively do?
Well, actually, I wanted to change the Constitution before this. I had an incident in my own neighborhood where there was a gentleman that molested his grandchildren, and he was out on bail for 3 or 4 months while they worked out a plea deal. And I had called the assistant district attorney in Waukesha and asked why this was, and he said, well, it's because of the Constitution. We're not allowed to look at their past criminal history and take certain other accounts into effect. So that's what started me down this path in 2017. And I wasn't able to get it across the finish line then. So the Waukesha incident really shone a spotlight on it and it kind of brought it to everyone's attention. And when you're looking at setting bail right now in the state of Wisconsin, the driving factor is whether or not that person will return to court. What I want to do is let the judge look back at your criminal history, what you've done, and take the safety of the community into effect, which would have prevented, in my opinion, hopefully, the gentleman Brooks, who was out, who murdered the people in Waukesha, from being out on bail. Now, that does not help with extremely liberal judges who just think everyone should be out and they're going to find an excuse for that, but it would let us hold their feet to the fire and say to them, didn't you go back and look and see what this man had done in the past? And if looking at that, you thought this was reasonable to let him out, it would hold them more accountable.
But in the scenario, you know, every defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Even if you set bail at $100 and they're acquitted, they may not be able to post bail, post that $100, and they'll sit in the jail cell for days, maybe weeks. No one is paying them back for that time that their lives were derailed. What are you for or opposed to a cash bail system?
I am not for getting rid of the bail system that we have. And yes, everyone is presumed innocent, and I firmly believe that. But when you can go back and look at someone's past criminal history, I mean, this man tried to run over somebody with a car. Now, do you really think that that person should be out on the street? I mean, he had a rap sheet that took the DA in Waukesha County 10 minutes to read. This was not just a one-time offense. So, yes, if you commit a crime and you have no past criminal history, yes, we should let you out on bail. I'm all for that, you know, considering what the crime is. But if you've got a criminal history like this gentleman Brooks has, no, he had been in and out of the system his entire life. He should have been locked up years ago. So in that case, no, he should not be getting bail and shouldn't be let out.
We're talking with Cindy Duco, representative for the 99th Assembly District, includes parts of Waukesha County, as we discuss some of the legislation she's backing at the Capitol. Should bail reform be enacted? How should judges set bail? What do you think of a constitutional amendment giving judges more latitude to a person's history and criminal activity? 800-642-1234. Proponents of bail reform, they argue that bail is often used to keep suspects trapped in jail before trial. Nate Gilliam, we talked with, is with the Milwaukee Freedom Fund, and he said last month that bail often disproportionately affects poor people and communities of color.
But then we don't have the same amount of wealth as most other communities to be able to support each other. So again, like not only the individual, people's families, people's communities are coming together, scraping together whatever they have to bail somebody out of jail. And that causes incredible ripple effects within communities.
Could this proposed amendment contribute to that problem?
I don't think so. First of all, let's start worrying about the victims and not so much about the criminals. We have the highest murder rate ever in the city of Milwaukee. 204 people were murdered. Out of those 204 people that were murdered, 20% of them are out on bail for a violent crime. So the pendulum has swung so far to protecting the rights of the criminal, we're not protecting the citizens of our state. We need to make sure our citizens are safe. If you've got 20% of the people out on violent crime charges killing people, we would have saved, 40 more lives had those people not been out on bail. And at the end of the day, when they look at setting bail, they look at what you can afford. So if you are someone who's not very wealthy, they set your bail lower than if you were Bill Gates getting charged with something. They're going to set your bail very high. Judges have that discretion. But we need to start thinking about the victims here and not so much the criminals. The victims have got rights also, and they seem to be pushed in the back of the bus right now.
Attorney General Josh Collis said that he'd prefer that you revise the pretrial system to something that more closely looks like the federal detention hearing. So the defendant requests bail, and the detention hearing is used to determine what to do with the defendant. One option could be to be in jail. What do you think of those suggestions?
The problem with a pretrial detention hearing is basically a mini hearing before you have your hearing. So that would take an awful lot more manpower, a lot more resources, more judges, more courts. The system we have right now is not used because it is a mini hearing, and we don't have that. In Milwaukee, they're actually 3 years behind in their court cases because they never reopened after COVID. Hmm. Now, we've always been a little bit behind in most of our counties. Waukesha is running about 2 years behind, but Milwaukee chose to open up full-time about a month ago. So they are drastically behind the eight ball, and that was their choice not to open their courtrooms. They managed to open the Bucks Arena and have the NBA playoffs and a parade for 100,000 people, but they couldn't get their courts open and get people through the justice system. So there's a problem with that, and that's a problem that they own. And I'm not about to make exceptions because Milwaukee couldn't get their job done.
Explain the roadmap here to change the Constitution regarding the right to bail. Two consecutive legislatures would have to approve the amendment before it would go to the ballot. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So my goal is to get it through the legislature this session, and then we come back next year in 23 and pass it right away in January. And so we'd have it on the ballot of April of 23. That's the goal.
You were among a group of lawmakers calling for Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm to be removed from his office last month. Do you still believe he should step down?
Yes, I do. When you look at the murder rate in Milwaukee, crime has done nothing but go up. Their homicide clearance rate used to be about 60-70%. We're now down to 40. And when you say 20% of all of these murders were committed by people who are already out on bail for a violent offense, John Chisholm himself has said his political agenda was to let everybody out. He feels his people are unserved and unjustly charged. He has said that himself. So I don't think what he's doing is right for our community. And again, I want to start looking at the victims, not the criminals.
Let's take a call now. Philip is joining us from Highland. Hi, Philip. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm all for you turn around doing a criminal back check on the criminals, but I'd also like you to do a check on the officers that are arresting these people. We have officers that get shipped from one county to another, one place to another, and they've committed all kinds of atrocities against the people and against the public and stuff like that. So if you're going to do that to the criminals, you should also do it to the officers, because there's a lot of police out here that are bad and make it a bad name for the good police. And you got to do it one side, you got to do it to the other. That's all I've got to say.
Thank you, Philip. Representative Duco.
I totally agree with him. First of all, we have the least amount of law enforcement officers in the state in over a decade. So people do not want to be work for the police. We just can't get police officers. At one point, they'd have a couple hundred people applying for a job. Now they maybe have four or five. I am all for background checking our police officers, and our police officers want that also. You know, they don't want a bad apple in the group. You know, the vast majority of our police officers are great people who work diligently and do jobs none of us want to do. And we had legislation out last session. I'm not sure if it got through. That says if you're going from one community, if you have a problem in one county, you cannot transfer to another county, and it would stop that from happening. But I am all in favor of background checking our police officers, and they want that more than anybody else does.
Republican Representative Cindy Duco of Delafield is here. What do you want lawmakers to understand and act on at this point in the pandemic? What things do you want our state lawmakers to prioritize in 2022? What questions do you have? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State lawmakers are looking at unvaccinated college students at the UW. Should they be entitled to a tuition refund if they're barred from a program due to their status? Join in 800-642-1234. We've been talking about the cash bail system with Representative Cindy Duco of Delafield, who's with us for about nine more minutes. Let's bring in Marcus now in Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. Go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. I don't believe that you actually believe people are innocent until proven guilty. You keep stating these criminals. If somebody has committed a crime and served their time and completed their sentence, technically they're square with the house. And throwing people in jail and holding them in jail goes against what the founding fathers set up with the laws of this country, because we rebelled against the British because they had debtors' prisons and they were throwing people in jail simply because they were poor.
Marcus, thank you. Representative Duco.
Well, first of all, I do believe people are innocent until proven guilty. Thanks for calling, Marcus. And what my constitutional amendment does, it lets you go back and look at their past criminal history. So if you don't have a past criminal history, yeah, you know what? We're going to set a reasonable bail. You're going to get out. You're going to go on with your life. You're going to go to court and get your day in court. But and look at the gentleman Brooks, who murdered six people in Waukesha. His rap sheet was 10 pages long. He had a criminal history that was pretty obvious. This man was violent. He had just a week earlier tried to run over the mother of his child with his car. So those type of people are the ones I'm talking about that should not be let out, you know, should not be let out on any sort of bail, and certainly not $1,000 bail. So I'm trying to protect the violent people off the streets. No, if you're shoplifting, no, you should be out on bail. You should be back at work, and you should come to court. We'll figure how you're going to pay your debt for what you did, and we'll straighten that out. But if you're violent and you've been repeatedly violent, we need to take that into account when setting your bail.
Let's move on to a new topic, paragraph return here, if you will. You co-authored a bill that would refund tuition to students at the UW or technical colleges that require a COVID vaccine or bar students from participating in a program because of their unvaccinated status. Can you tell us a little bit more about this proposal?
Well, I just don't think because you chose not to get vaccinated, you should not be able to go to class. Whether or not you get vaccinated is a personal choice. I am not for vaccine mandates. So, and right now, if you look at the statistics, people who are vaccinated and boosted are still getting COVID. So by barring vaccinated people isn't solving any problem, because you could be vaccinated and boosted and you could go to class and you could have COVID and transfer it anyway. So I think the vaccine mandate is not a fair thing to do. And if people don't choose to get vaccinated, and especially our college kids, they're the ones who are the least likely to be sick. I mean, you know, my son had it. He basically had a little bit of a cold. So what we're finding through science is that people that need to be vaccinated and need to be worrying about are people who are older and have comorbidities. The rest of us, this is here to stay. We need to start just going on with our normal lives.
Over 95% of the UW is vaccinated. Thousands of the UW have received their boosters. Why do you think this legislation is needed?
Because there are 5% that have not. And if people chose not to get vaccinated, that is their choice. And again, college-age kids, they're not the ones who are in the hospital. They're not the ones that are dying. If you look at the statistics, is it 80% of the people who passed away from COVID were over 65? So I don't think there's a lot of 65-year-olds attending our universities.
How do you see, then, the potential Supreme Court ruling on federal vaccine requirements affecting this proposed legislation?
You know, I don't know how the Supreme Court's going to rule. I think that they are going to rule that we cannot mandate vaccines for everyday businesses. I'm not sure how they're going to feel about medical workers. And I can't guess on what the Supreme Court's going to do. I just know that I feel that our UW students have the right not to be vaccinated, and they have the right to attend class.
Was there a personal? Did you receive information from your constituents that they have gone through this, that they've been barred, or has a situation come up? Where did you hear something?
I heard a lot from my constituents that they did not want to make their UW students get vaccinated. And a lot of them ended up doing it because it was really kind of a hassle not to be. But they were not happy about it, and they felt that their 20-somethings that were off at the UW system, and I heard actually from a lot of UW students also, that they just didn't need to be vaccinated. And looking at science, they were right. They don't need to be vaccinated. Natural immunity is better than the vaccine.
Wait, you're saying that you shouldn't be vaccinated, that you're better off without the COVID vaccine? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think that's your personal choice. If you want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you are perfectly healthy and you're 20-something years old and you say, I don't want to get vaccinated, I'd rather just wait till I get it, have my natural immunity, that's your choice also. And I'm not going to force kids to go out and get a vaccine.
We're talking with Cindy Duco, who is a representative for the 99th Assembly District, looking at legislation that she's backing. You can join in, 800-642-1234. I want to look at legislation that would expand the types of properties that would fall under sales and use tax exemptions for renewable energy properties. What do you hope this bill will do?
Actually, Senator Coles and I are working on this bill together, and it's a great bill. So right now, solar panels are tax exempt. What's not tax exempt is the batteries that you could use to store this in, because the batteries weren't quite technically up there when they did the solar panels. So this would make things as small as Generac is making a battery for your home. So if you had a solar panel on your roof, you could store your solar energy in that battery. This also would be for utility work. So the giant solar fields that you see would have a battery like the size of a trailer truck that you could then store this energy in. So this would actually save the taxpayers money because they would not be paying. And those big utility ones, those go back to your regular tax, your utility bill. And it would also help people who want to have more green energy.
Something we've heard on our program is a call for more rebate programs, more robust energy rebates for households that do adopt solar energy, for instance. Where do you stand on fiscal policies that align with environmental sustainability and create tax incentives for using clean energy?
Well, this would be a tax incentive because you could buy the battery from Generac and you would not have to pay the sales tax on it. And then because if you do have the solar panels on your roof, you are creating your own energy, which you can sell them back to the grid.
Mm.
So this is a way that could save you money and be a little bit greener.
Let us circle back to COVID for a moment and take a call. Becky joining us from Hustisford. Becky, hi.
Hi there, and thank you so much for taking my call. I just had a question for your guest, and I don't want this to sound hostile, but I would like her to think about this. I am all for free choice, as she is discussing, but is she also then an advocate of our healthcare professionals having the right to refuse treatment to those who have chosen not to get vaccinated? Because right now, the most finite supply that we have is healthcare professionals, and they're not available to take care of those people who have heart attacks, strokes, or in car accidents or fires when they're taking care of COVID patients who chose to expose themselves to the most hazardous level of COVID rather than getting vaccinated and having a mild case that they could stay at home with. Thank you.
Representative Duco.
Well, first of all, our healthcare workers take an oath. And they take an oath and pledge that they are going to help everybody. And that's what you choose when you go into the healthcare. And whether or not someone got vaccinated, they are still, if they're sick, they're sick, and our healthcare workers are going to take care of them. But right now, we have people sitting in the hospital who have gotten their shots and their booster, and they're sick with COVID. But we're not.
But we've learned the vast majority of those hospital beds are occupied by unvaccinated people, and the people, those who have breakthrough infections, we've read about that they've been 1 or 2 day hospital stays, but not very long hospital stays.
And they made a choice not to get vaccinated. People make a choice to smoke. So do we not take care of them if they have lung cancer? People make a choice maybe not to work out and eat real well, and now they're a little overweight and they have a heart problem. Do we not take care of them? There's all sorts of free choices out there. How do you decide what is the right and the wrong thing to do here? I'm not a smoker, and I try to take pretty good care of myself. So if you happen to be a smoker and you're...
And Representative Duco, we're out of time. News update is next on the Ideas Network. You are with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a heads up on our programming. Be sure to join us on the Ideas Network. A week from today, it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We have two special broadcasts at noon on the 17th. It's a rebroadcast of the 2021 official Wisconsin celebration and tribute hosted by WPR's Dr. Jonathan Overby. Then at 8 that evening, join us for a special MLK Day edition of Why Race Matters hosted by Angela Fitzgerald of PBS Wisconsin's Wisconsin Life. Find out more at WPR.org. Right now, we're in conversation with the new leader of Assembly Democrats. Representative Greta Neubauer of Racine ran unopposed and was elected by her caucus 3 weeks ago. Last month, we spoke with the outgoing minority leader, Gordon Hintz, who steps down today and has held the position since 2017. Which issues do you think state Democrats and Republicans should find compromise and work together on? What are your priorities for the Democratic Party heading into the November midterms? 800-642-1234. Representative Greta Neubauer, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here this morning.
Good morning. So Representative Hintz steps down today. You are the new leader of Assembly Democrats. Why do you want to lead your Democratic colleagues in the Assembly?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Kate. So the last 2 years have been incredibly challenging in Wisconsin. We are in an ongoing pandemic, a pandemic that has taken a lot from all of us. And the Republican-led legislature, frankly, has not risen to the challenge. And Wisconsinites deserve better. They deserve to have their elected officials put them first, above partisanship. And our job as state representatives is to put people of this state first, you know, to represent those who voted for us and those who didn't, and to show that government can be a force for good in people's lives. So we have an incredibly talented, diverse, dedicated Democratic caucus. And my job will be to support those incredible leaders in fighting for the people of our state. Before I ran for office, I was an organizer and then spent 4 years in the legislature. And my job as an organizer and now is to keep people rowing in the same direction and to keep our caucus united as we go into the coming year.
Yes, you know, so what is your style then to organize and get your caucus rowing together, so to speak? What is your style for leadership?
So as I mentioned, I was an organizer. I worked with young people, particularly around the issue of climate change. And I believe very strongly in the work that happens outside the Capitol to keep us accountable to what the people of Wisconsin would like to see us do. And I believe that it is our job to listen to our constituents and to represent them well in the Capitol. You know, I'm just starting out. Tomorrow will be my first day as the new leader, but I'd say my style is fundamentally collaborative. You know, we do have such a strong Democratic Assembly caucus right now, and so many people who are ready to step up in new ways with the challenges that we're facing. And it will be my job to support them to do so, to lift up their voices and allow them to effectively represent their constituents.
You face a tough battle to get bills through the Assembly. Democrats outnumbered 38-61. Given that political scenario, what will be your legislative priorities, especially working across the aisle?
Yeah. So we, you know, we are in a challenging moment in our state, a very challenging moment. We have young people who have really struggled, who have borne the brunt of the pandemic for the last almost 2 years. And they deserve our support. They deserve our investment. We know that inequities in our schools have only been exacerbated over the last two years. And we know that we have the resources necessary to help schools weather this wave of the pandemic and to make investments in supporting young people to return safely to the classroom. We know that many working families continue to struggle. Our economic recovery is critical. You know, when I talk to service industry employees, small business owners, service teachers, they share that there has never been a harder period in their careers. And it's clear that they need more from us, and we can do more in the legislature to support them. And finally, I'll mention that Democrats stand united in understanding the importance of protecting our democracy. Republicans have embraced conspiracy theories about the 2020 election in an effort to justify changes to our electoral system and to undermine our free and fair elections, and we will not allow this to happen.
Picking up on this last item that you talked about, there is an investigation led by Assembly Republicans. Assembly Speaker Voss is talking with former Justice Michael Gableman about extending their review of the 2020 election for another 2 months at least, wants legislation to this regard on the floor in the very near future. How do you feel about this contract and this probe and this review of the 2020 election?
People of Wisconsin have been very clear that they do not want the Assembly Republicans to continue spending money hand over fist to investigate an election that is over. Joe Biden won Wisconsin by nearly 21,000 votes. This outcome has withstood recounts and numerous lawsuits. And Speaker Voss is using conspiracy theories to justify his efforts to permanently cement an advantage for his party in our electoral system. We have Senator Ron Johnson running for re-election, calling for the Republican state legislature to unilaterally assert control of federal elections. Gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clayfish, who wants to eliminate the nonpartisan elections commission. This is very serious. These are no longer fringe ideas. We have the leaders of the Republican Party in Wisconsin calling for significant changes to our nonpartisan electoral system. And we all need to sound the alarm about how serious this is and about the fact that these changes would fundamentally undermine our fair elections in Wisconsin.
Going back to the cost of this investigation, former Justice Gableman was hired by Assembly Republicans in June, a budget of $676,000, taxpayer money. Gableman was supposed to end the work this fall. What if this probe asks for more money? What as this investigation goes on?
Well, it looks like it is going to continue, at least for a while here. And that will clearly continue to cost taxpayers more. You know, we know what the people of Wisconsin want right now is they want support for their schools. They want support for small businesses. They want support for healthcare workers who have been asked to bear the brunt of this crisis. They do not want to pay Michael Gableman to continue down this rabbit hole. So I hope that Speaker Voss will wake up to that reality, will listen to the people of this state, and will recognize that we are spending money on something that the people of Wisconsin do not want.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Greta Neubauer, a Democratic state representative from Racine, new leader of Assembly Democrats. You can join in. What are your thoughts on political issues like elections or the state budget? Are you from Racine? What issues do you think lawmakers need to address? 800-642-1234. There are fundamental value-driven differences between Democrats and Republicans. How do you set aside moral differences and cooperate with each other?
Yeah. So, you know, we know that the people of Wisconsin are very tired of partisanship getting in the way of progress on issues that we all agree on. And our caucus, Assembly Democrats, are always looking, our members are always looking for common ground where we can find it. It has been challenging, but Assembly Democrats will continue to do that work. And we have found some common ground and hope to see some progress in the coming months on water quality, on criminal justice reform, on clean energy. You know, these are some of the many issues that do cut across party lines. And we hope that our colleagues will work with us. We'll schedule these bills, we'll bring them to the floor, and we'll address the pressing issues facing our state.
Climate accountability, something, the climate crisis and the root causes of pollution are of great importance to you and the legislation that you go after. Will this continue to be a focal point of Assembly Democrats, do you think?
It will. You know, we know that climate change is affecting us in Wisconsin right now, and that that will only continue. I represent Racine. We have shoreline that's eroding. We have increased extreme weather events here and around the state that are already impacting our growing season, our tourism, and our well-being. So Assembly Democrats put forward an ambitious package and at the end of last year. And it's something that we know we will continue to work on. And we know that in addressing the climate crisis, we also have an opportunity. We'll have an opportunity to create good jobs in our state, family supporting union jobs, and it will allow us to reduce our state's long-standing inequities, particularly racial inequities.
We're talking with the new Democratic Assembly Minority Leader, Representative Greta Neubauer of Racine, about her priorities, agenda as new leader of her caucus. What issues should Assembly Democrats prioritize 2 years into the pandemic? Where do you think they can find common ground across the aisle? What is the legislation you care about in 2022 that impacts your life? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Representative Neubauer on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Assembly Democrats have a new leader. We're with Representative Greta Neubauer, who takes over as minority leader tomorrow, officially. Representative Kaylin Haywood of Milwaukee was elected to be the new assistant minority leader. What questions do you have about the Democratic Party and how it has fared against Republicans? What are your thoughts on state of elections, pandemic response, other pressing issues like we've been talking about, climate change and the environment? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Representative Greta Neubauer with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's go to Greg now in Sheboygan. Hi, Greg. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts? Crying out loud. You've got a person who thinks too much. I believe, seriously, we need to mine for new metals. This is a whole different avenue. We need to get rid of carbon compounds. The only way on the earth, because the bond energy is such that in order to break 44 grams of carbon dioxide into carbon and oxygen, you would have to generate and concentrate the energy necessary to push 87,555 pounds 1 meter. It isn't going to happen in nature. Photosynthesis doesn't touch carbon dioxide. It touches water. We need to mine, and then we need to throw all of our garbage, all these tons of garbage we see, we need to dump them underground. Once we get the metals out that we can use, we can fill the hole with Tootsie Roll and dump all of our garbage down and turn it into coal. But otherwise, we need to take the whole Republican Party
and
vote them out of office.
I want to just pause here and focus on the climate issue, because a bill that Representative Neubauer recently authored is looking to evaluate the social cost of carbon emissions. Go ahead, Representative.
Yeah, thanks for the question. So what this bill would do is allow the Public Service Commission, our regulators in Wisconsin, to take into account all of the costs on our society that we bear when we burn 1 ton of carbon. These include health impacts. I mentioned earlier the impacts on agriculture and tourism, that we are seeing in our state due to burning fossil fuels here and elsewhere. And what this bill does is it allows our regulators to take that into consideration as they are making decisions about authorizing future generating capacity, so new fossil fuel infrastructure. And we think this is critical for us to make long-term investments that benefit the people of our state.
You have authored a bill this year that would create grants for farmers who use sustainable practice. What about the impact of the climate crisis with agriculture?
Yeah, you know, farmers are some of our state's most dedicated conservationists, and they are feeling the impacts already. The change in growing season, the way in which our winters are less cold and set them up in a different way for the spring. So we need to do what we can to support farmers to make the investments that will support our state long term, right? That will both allow them to make ends meet as small farmers and will capture more carbon in the ground. So this bill would support farmers to implement new practices that would sequester carbon and that would, help us mitigate the impacts of climate change.
Let's bring on, let's see here, Jim now in Hartford. Jim, hi, what would you like to bring up?
Yep, good morning. I think the priorities are a little lopsided right now. There are problems with just in the inner city with crime and a lack of police support. You know, all the activities that happened the last couple summers or this past summer or the summer before, I'm sorry, with the riots and the defund the police has caused great harm to the African and Hispanic communities. That should be more of a focus. As far as global warming goes, it should be something that needs to be worked on. We do need a clean environment, but it's definitely not a priority right now. The lockdowns and inflation, all those things need to be addressed immediately. The mandates, that's really hurting everybody. And unfortunately, the people at the lower rung of the economy are the ones that suffer the most through inflation. So I think that should be your focus.
Okay, so we heard a mix here of community policing issues, pandemic economy. Representative Neubauer, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'll start on inflation. Of course, this is something that is impacting people in Wisconsin right now, and it is an issue that we take seriously. What I think we can do here, not being at the federal level, on inflation is to get the pandemic under control. And we are doing everything we can to make that happen, but we need more support. We need our colleagues across the aisle and the Assembly Republicans to join us in that work. You know, we need every elected official to be encouraging vaccination. We know that vaccination rates differ significantly by partisanship. And, you know, I'd really call on my Republican colleagues to recognize their role in encouraging vaccination. We need to support our local health departments, hospitals, frontline workers to have the resources that they need. I recently rode along with fire department in Racine and spoke with EMS, emergency medical service providers in our community, and saw how much strain this has placed on them. So I absolutely believe that inflation is a challenge that we're facing. And I believe that we actually do have a role to play here in Wisconsin in addressing that by helping the pandemic get this wave of the COVID-19 pandemic under control.
There's concern from that caller about defunding police departments. What to do about ensuring that there are enough police in the community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one thing I would point to is that over the last several years, Republicans at the state level have consistently cut the budgets of local government. We've got the receipts on this. You can look back several years and you can look at the ways that Democrats have proposed increasing shared revenue so that local governments have the ability to make the decisions that they want to make about how to fund local services. These cuts in shared revenue have impacted public health departments who were less equipped for this pandemic, first responders, libraries, parks. These are critical services that local governments are providing in our communities. And when our colleagues on the other side of the aisle, when the Republican leftists in the assembly are ready to have a serious conversation about local government funding. We are ready to do that, and we will pull out the bills that we have proposed for the last several years to have that conversation.
Greta Neubauer with us, Democratic State Representative from Racine, new Minority Leader of Assembly Democrats. Taking your questions, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Andrew is joining us from Minnesota. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning to everybody. So I just came on and hearing you speak, one of the callers disagreed with your priorities. I think that even though he did say a lot of things are true, his perception of what priorities should be are wrong, right? I think your priorities are good. But I wanted to ask you, do you think that any of this progress for the betterment of America and towards the betterment of the world and whatever influence America has on it is going to be possible within the obviously broken two-party system? To elaborate just a little bit, you know, it doesn't really matter who's in office, be it Republican or Democrat, but the rich get richer, the middle class shrinks, the poor get poorer, power is ceded to the powerful, and bombed people get bombed around the world. So, like, I was hoping to get some thoughts on that.
Andrew, thank you for that. Representative Neubauer.
Yeah, I thank you for the question. You know, I think it's very clear that there are many ways in which we have not delivered for the people. I'll focus on of Wisconsin. We do have significant inequities in this state. We do have an unequal tax system that benefits some more than others. You know, my job is to do what I can to work within the structure that we have to make people's lives better. And, you know, so I'll focus on that. And I will share that I think all of the concerns that you raised are things that I share and are issues that we need to address, and that me and my colleagues will do everything we can to make a tax system that is more fair for Wisconsinites, right? We know that it is not fair that so many people are struggling and have been for many, many years. We have more to do. I do believe that government can be a force for good. And that's the work that we will do in the year ahead.
Well, we will be watching. Representative Greta Neubauer, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Greta Neubauer is a Democratic state representative from Racine. She is the new minority leader in the assembly, was first elected to the assembly in 2018. We spoke in recent weeks with Representative Gordon Hintz, the outgoing minority leader. Stay with us as we look at the implications of medical debt and a study from a Yale University economist that found litigation over unpaid medical bills increased by almost 40% in Wisconsin over recent decades. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.